Timothy was written by Paul while he was in prison cell in Rome. That's right. This is one of the five or so books that Paul wrote from prison. This was Paul's second imprisonment. It was especially and in many ways different from his first encounter in prison for preaching the gospel. Why was it different? Because this was difficult times. Look at chapter 4, verse 16 through 17.
Verse 16 and 17. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me.
Now, I wonder if you get what Paul is saying here. At a time when he needed Christians to stand by him, he was left alone. He was abandoned. But there was one encouraging point. God did not abandon him.
The Lord stood with me.
The Lord stood with me.
And strengthened me.
And strengthened me.
That by me the preaching might be fully known. And that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work.
Now, notice here too. What God did for him, remind him of what God will continue to do for him. And may I just remember, we are looking on the subject, passing through the breaking point without breaking. We must always remind ourselves when we are going through difficult times, whatever those difficult times are, in whatever area of our lives, we must always look back on having gone through difficult times and God brought us through. Amen. A break of persecution under Nero was at this time. A.D. 64. This is the final word from Paul. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Of the prison epistle. This one is the last book that Paul wrote. Second Timothy. Why was it written? The primary purpose of the book of 2 Timothy was to inspire Timothy and to strengthen Timothy for the work he was doing in the city of Ephesus. Timothy and the church in Ephesus, they were about to face the threat and the danger of heresy. That is false doctrine, damnable false doctrine, and sinful infection. That is, there were people coming in the church with all sort of philosophy and ideas, including Jews, and want to impose them on the church. The book of 2 Timothy was therefore written to prepare Timothy, the young preacher, for difficult times, both as a Christian and as a young creature. He was about to face a situation that would test his faith and his courage. Paul reminds Timothy, as he's reminding us, that unbecoming Christians, I mean every one of us, and I encourage you to remember that when we became Christian, the Holy Spirit was given to us to fill us with power for service and for living. The Almighty God knows that any man or woman out there, matters not how zealous we are, when we become Christian, if we are left on our own, we will never make it. And this is one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit, to give us the power for service and for Christian living. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Let us hear it.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear.
You notice again the same emphasis that he just made, that observation in chapter 1 verse 7 that was read, that the Almighty God has not given us the spirit of fear but of power and of sound mind. Now, to a different congregation, some of the same thought is being expressed. God did not call us to act like we are slaves to Satan and to sin and to fear. Read it again, brother.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear.
That's right.
Okay. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
We are not slaves. Amen. And the persons at Satan Yah, we are adopted sons and daughters at God's palace. And Paul is telling the Christian, remember this. Remember that you are adopted into God's family. The Holy Spirit, as I said, upon becoming Christian, filled us with this power. We too face difficulties in life of one sort or the other. Your challenge is not my challenge, and my challenge is not your challenge. What I guarantee you, each one of us face some form of challenges. Every one of us. Especially adults. Have you ever wondered why many Christians backslide? Because they cannot deal. At least they felt they could not deal with the challenge. So they give up, they yield to Satan. What I am leading on to share with you in this lesson is the fact that the Almighty God make us and give us the power through the Holy Spirit so that we learn to turn liability into asset. That's a fact. Yes, we do face challenges and fearful situation. Look at John 14:27. 14:27, St. John.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you.
Uh-huh.
Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled.
Here again. Jesus Christ here is encouraging his followers, his disciples, his apostles, that as they go through life and face the different challenges, he's saying, don't go through life in frustration. Please, you have the great God on your side. Let not your heart be troubled.
Neither let it be afraid.
Do you notice this is about the third passages? Third passage that we have read, encouraging God's people, don't go through life in fear. It doesn't mean that fearful moments will not come up. In fact, fear has its plus. Brother Mitchell, you are telling us not to fear. And you are telling us here. Yes. Fear has its plus. There are situations that are fearful situations. And if common sense tells you to avoid it or to run from it, listen to common sense. Because in many cases, all that fear says is that you face danger, do something about it. We, to face difficult times, that sometimes encourage fear. May I also share something else? Did you know that, and it's important to learn this little truth, the way we respond to whatever confronts us is dependent on how adequate we feel we are able or not able to deal with it. I'm going to explain. Almost any situation we face, our response will be dependent on our feeling of adequacy or inadequacy to deal with it. Illustration. When David, a little boy, faced a giant that was about 9 feet tall, was David trembling with fear? No. And you know why? Because David felt he would be able to deal with that giant. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? David felt adequate. Anything you and I face in life, our feeling of adequacy or inadequacy to deal with it will determine how we respond to that. In this book, Discovering Ourselves, written by 3 psychiatrists. I like what they said here on page, I think it's 180. And it's right on the point that our adequacy or inadequacy, our feeling of, determine how we respond to things. And we need to keep that in mind. Why you need to keep that in mind? Many situations you face and you tremble to death. If you just ask the question, why am I responding like this to that? Or I have no good reason to respond in this way to that. Or God promised that through Christ He will be with me in these situations. Another qualifying point is that a person's sense of adequacy also influences the situation. Whatever the situation is, you know. Whether you feel you can handle it or you cannot handle it, that's what's going to determine. It's not the situation so much. It's your disposition. If a person feels adequate to cope with a given stimulus, that is, any given situation, he will tend to become angry. Whereas, if he feels inadequate, he will tend to become afraid. So you and I face the same situation. I lose night rest. I tremble. I can't eat because I feel I cannot deal with it. But you facing the very same situation, feel you can deal with it. Your response is anger. But anger is not a good thing. There too, anger has its flaws. Did you know that anger supplies you with strength? A person who is normally physically will be weak or so strong. When that person is angry, the person is physically stronger. That's the fact. So remember, our response to situation is not dependent so much on the situation. It depends on, can I, with the help of God, deal with that? Or, you know, I can never deal with that if it come closer to me or come my way. Fear is not good. Fear incapacitates us and it cripples us. It makes us impotent. That's right. We face many situations that we could deal with, but because we are afraid, lack faith, forget that God promised through Christ He will be there for us. We are crippled. Look at these two situations where one, a man of God turned liability into asset. That's one. Another situation where a man of faith turned liability into asset. But both stories are lessons you probably know. Not probably, you know them very well. Look at Genesis chapter 30. And verse 34 through 39. Let us hear it. Genesis chapter 30.
And Laban said, "Behold, I would it might be according to thy word." And he removed that day the he-goat that
were... Brother Everett, read for me just one or two verses from 27.
From 27.
Verse 27.
And Laban said unto him, "I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake."
May I Just a little background. As you all know, Jacob worked 7 years for the young lady he saw and loved and wanted to make his companion. But he was dealing with a father-in-law that was very tricky. Laban must have come from Jamaica. Because what has happened, he had two daughters. And he came to an agreement with Jacob, if you work 7 years, I'll give you that one. He worked the 7 years. And when the 7 years ended, he said, look here, Adawani, I didn't mean, you know. I don't know why Jacob chose the one he chose. But his father-in-law tricky in dear life, just work brain, lie and deceive this young man. But Jacob had patience. That's a plus for any of us. And his father-in-law, Laban, said, if you want that one that you claim had pledged to you, you have to work 7 more years. So, in effect, the man worked 14 years for his wife. And he was about to leave, and Laban begged him, that's what verse 27, begging, said, please, if I have found favor in your eyes, how do you expect to find favor in the man's eyes when you have already done so ungodly to him? But you know what? Jacob agreed to stay and say, pay me. Wait. But I don't want money. Here now is Jacob turning liability into asset. 14 years instead of the 7 years for his wife. He took it. He's about to leave. Laban begged him to stay, and he decided to stay. Told his father-in-law, give him cattle, sheep, etc. for his wage. Now look now at verse 34 through 39. Read it.
And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And he removed that day the he-goat that were rinsed,
you see, bacon, what had happened? Jacob had told him the condition. All the spotted animal will belong to me. Laban was glad for that. There were not many spotted ones at this time. But Jacob going to do something about it. Read on.
And all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob took him rods and green pollards, and of the hazel and chestnut tree.
Mm-hmm.
And piled 5 stakes on them, and made white appear which was in the rod.
As and you all know, when the cattle came, we would say he painted a piece of wood and put it in the water when the cattle were pregnant, come to drink water. And the born cattle came with the spot. What you had as of this time, literally all of Laban's cattle being born as of this point came with spot. What you are seeing here, you know, if Jacob was a man who give up easily, he would have left Laban's house a pauper. But he didn't give up easily. Read that. What verse you start?
That was at 37.
Read on.
And he set the rods which had piled before the flocks in the gutter and in the water's trough when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, a ring streaking, speckled and spotted.
That's right. The cattle came with speckle and spot and whatever else.
And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flock towards the ring streaked and all the brown in the flocks of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not up unto Laban's cattle.
Verse 43.
And the man increased exceedingly.
The man is Jacob. The man increased
exceedingly. And had much cattle. And made servants. And men servants.
And women servants. Men servants.
And cattle.
And asses. This is Jacob turning liability into asset. 7-14 years. You know what, brothers and sisters? Most of us, after we worked 7 years for that wife and we were deceived, we would walk away. Jacob didn't. Look at chapter 31, verse 4 through 7. Quickly.
And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me.
Isn't that wonderful? Don't move from there, brother. He called his two wives. And he's going to complain to them about their daddy. That their daddy is crooked. He's a deceiver. But that God was with Jacob. That always makes all the difference in the world. Read on.
And ye know that with all my power I have
served. The Almighty God knows. In fact, Laban also knows that with all my
power I have served your father.
You know, there are some employees that are just dedicated employees. There are some people at wherever they work. They are going to give you a hour's for your hour's pay or a day's work. Jacob was such a man. He gave his day's work for a day's pay. Read on.
And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times.
You got that? It doesn't mean that Jacob didn't raise up here 10 times. I need somebody to complain to about my employer. It doesn't mean that Jacob was given raise up here 10 times. When it said change my what?
Wages.
How many times?
10 times.
It meant that every opportunity Laban got, he find ways to cut Jacob's salary or wages. Every opportunity. The man was crooked in and out. But you know, brothers and sisters, what you need to notice is that why did Jacob stand all of this? Because Jacob was not a person who gives up easily. God doesn't want us to be people who easily give up. Read on.
But God suffered him not to hurt me.
You got the point? God permitted him not to
hurt me.
Hurt me. Eh? May I? That's the only thing that was left for Laban to do him physical harm. But the Almighty God saw to it that Laban didn't go that far. Read on.
If he said thus, the speckles shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled.
Mm-hmm.
And if he said thus, the ringstrake shall be thy hire,
mm-hmm.
then bear all the cattle ringstrake.
And Jacob saw the Almighty God in all of this. We would praise our smartness. He gave God the glory. What verse did you read?
That was the end of 8.
Okay. The end of 8. So here we see, brothers and sisters, a man who had been faced with many challenges, negative challenges. Who had been faced with liability. But in each case, Jacob turned these liability into asset. When the Holy Spirit in Paul says, the Almighty God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, this is part of what he meant. The evil that Satan put in our way, the Almighty God can turn those evil into good. Here is another and the last illustration. Turn to the book of Mark. Another case of a person not willing to give up, not willing to take no for an answer, a person who felt by his faith that he could turn liability into asset. That he could open doors that were closed. Let us hear it. Mark chapter 2 from verse 2 to verse 5.
And straightway many were gathered together.
Mm-hmm.
Insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bring one sick of the palsy, which has...
And keep in mind, we have a situation where the crowd came down so much to hear Jesus Christ. Christ's healing power was part of the drawing attraction. And the place became so crowded that here is the person brought and obeyed. Brought so that Jesus Christ would heal this sick person. Read.
And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four.
Mm-hmm.
And when they
four people carry him and obey.
And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press.
The crowd, the word the press means the crowd. The crowd was so thick and large that there was no way for this man to come near to Jesus Christ for Christ to heal him. This is liability. This is a shut door. Read.
They uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay.
I like this. You understand what it meant when it says they uncovered the roof? They bore a hole in the roof. For many of us, we would never have thought of that. They bore a hole in the roof and let down this sick person. This is literally turning liability into asset. The crowd, which made it impossible for him to get to Christ with the sick boy or whatever, that was a liability. That was a closed door. Many of us would turn back with tears in our eyes. Not this man. Not this man. Listen, Jesus Christ come in. Read.
When Jesus saw their faith.
When Jesus Christ saw what?
Their faith.
When Jesus Christ saw what?
Their faith.
And a lot of times that's what we lack. When Jesus Christ saw how determined and believing this man was, what he said?
He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.
Thy sins be forgiven thee. And what you notice here is that Jesus Christ was tying the person's sickness to sin. What verse is that?
The end of 5.
In closing, as we have seen in Jacob, turning liability into asset, finding ways to open doors that are shut, we have seen that this also in this case in Mark chapter 2. So in closing, I repeat, the true child of God is given power to encounter foes, danger, and to bear up under trials. The Christian is characteristically the person, if there is anybody, the Christian man or woman is the person who can pass through the breaking point without breaking. In Jesus Christ, we can. But remember this, lots of situations we face, how you and I respond to it will be dependent on our feeling of adequacy or inadequacy. Very important that we get that. It will be dependent on whether you and I feel that, yes, it is a problem, but with God's help, I can deal with it. That changes everything in respect to how you respond to any challenge that you face. That feeling that with Jesus' help, you are adequate to the situation. That changes everything. The opposite also can create a lot of problem and failure for you. When because of lack of faith, because you feel there is no way you can get through that, that also incapacitates you. It ties your hand, it ties your brain, it dampens your faith. When the Almighty God stands one side, dying to help you if you would manifest the right faith. If you are here tonight, you are not a child of God. Christ wants you to give your life to Him through faith, repentance, and baptism. If you are a child of God who have grown weak, have backslidden, the Almighty God stands one side, ready to help us and to go with us through the challenges of life. But there are conditions. You must live close to Him.